You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Canadiens Connection Podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio, where we keep you informed, engaged, and, of course, entertained by one big topic, and that is the Montreal Canadiens. And boy, are we in for a great show today because, folks, come on, the season has unofficially begun with training camp underway. Things are actually happening. Preseason games are right around the corner, and it's been an exciting week, and we're going to dive into all of it. First, let me tell you that my name is Amy Johnson. I'm your host for today's show for episode 366 of the Canadiens Connection podcast. This week's show is titled, "It's Gotta Start Now." That's a direct quote. It's got to start now. Who said it? Well, we're going to get into that in a minute. It's got to start now. Habs training camp intensity ramps up. And my co-host is here in the studio with me as well. He's our founder and president at Rocket Sports. Rick Stevens, it's got to start now.
Well, we were here all summer. we've been starting it every week through the summer. The podcast has been going. We had news this week, though. Yeah. Almost every event could have been its own podcast. We had to kind of streamline things, so we stick to our 90 minutes today. But boy, there was a lot of news, a lot happening, and a lot to talk about today.
So we are going to unpack a lot of that. We're going to, hey, for the first time in what feels like forever in our first segment, we've got some games to review. That's pretty fun. We're going to talk about the two games that the Habs rookies played in the Prospect Showdown and who stood out in those matchups. Get you all caught up on some roster news, a little bit of prospect news, but really the rookie camp kind of took care of most of that. And then our second segment is where we're going to dig into our big topic of the week. And this week, our second segment is titled "St. Louis Sets the Tone." It starts right now. We're going to do two things in that big topic second segment. We're going to first break down, analyze, read between the lines of the boatload of information and commentary that Habs executives and management put out there during their press conference early in the week at the Canadiens Charity Golf Tournament. Jeff Gorton, Kent Hughes, even Nick Suzuki had some comments as well. We're going to talk about some of the things that they said that were very key. And then with training camp already a few days underway, we're then going to analyze and take a deep dive on what lines look like early in camp, notable things that have happened, notable things that head coach Marty St. Louis has had to say. It's already, as he says, it's got to start now. Well, it's training camp is already making headlines, and we're going to take you through all of it to get you caught up so that you know where things stand, because the Canadiens have their first preseason game in just a couple of days. So with that in mind, don't forget this is an interactive podcast. We will have a Canadians Connection question of the week for you that we want you to send in your replies to. We're also going to give you some of the great replies from last week's question. But if you do want to send in your responses, if you do have a question for us about the Canadians or their prospects, if you have something you want to say about the Canadians or their prospects, send us a text on the Rocket Sports text line. That's 585-3-ROCKET. Again, that's 585-3-ROCKET. You can also drop a comment on our YouTube channel. Where can you find that? Well, just head over to insidethecanadians.com and you'll find our YouTube channel. Or you could also hit us up on social media at Habs Connection on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. So let's not delay. Let's kick things off with the two games that the Canadiens rookies played last weekend in the Bell Centre for the Prospect Showdown. As a reminder, of course, that was the Canadiens rookies versus prospects from the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Ottawa Senators, and the Winnipeg Jets. The Canadiens played two games. They faced off against the Winnipeg Jets prospects and the Toronto Maple Leafs prospects. So kicking things off on Saturday night, Rick, at the Bell Centre, the primetime matchup, the 7 p.m. matchup, Winnipeg versus Montreal. This one was a tight final score. But Winnipeg did come out on top in this one, 4-3.
A little bit back and forth. Does the result matter? I don't know. What mattered to the fans there? And it was a full Bell Centre, lots of fans, and including in one of the private boxes, about 10 of the Montreal Canadiens players who were pretty excited. And everybody was excited by Ivan Demidov. He was as you might expect, he was electric. He was outstanding. He had a goal and two assists. And frankly, he was too electric. Good to be there.
Yeah.
And I, you know, there was some discussion ahead of this Prospect Showdown. Should Demidov be there? And you know, I said after this game, he should definitely not play on Sunday. You don't want to risk anything happening, and he didn't. But he was outstanding. He was the offense. Kapanen got a goal. Yes, Florian Jacquet got a goal, but it was all due to the magic of Ivan Demidov. He was outstanding. Jacob Fowler was really
very good.
In his period and a half, not allowing a goal. And that excited the fans. It excited Lane Hutson and the teammates who were watching upstairs. And it was, despite the loss, I think an enjoyable I really like the move to this kind of tournament, especially adding in the extra team this year. I think it was very successful.
I think so too, and I think the amount of tickets that they sold proved that that's a good city to host such a tournament because the Bell Centre was packed. Now, less than 24 hours later, Montreal would play again on Sunday afternoon at 3, facing off against the Toronto Maple Leafs prospects. Now, chalk it up to two games in less than 24 hours. Chalk it up to maybe that electric buzzsaw of Ivan Demidov not being in the lineup. But Montreal really struggled on the offensive side in this one, with Toronto coming again. 4 goals against Montreal. This time the Habs prospects, however, could only come up with 1.
A lot of penalties, a lot of fighting and scuffling and scrums, and a little surprising that so many players dropped the gloves in this, but they did. They had something to prove. They were the coaching staffs and scouts that were watching. So, the only goal for Montreal came from Philippe Machar. as you said, Demidov not in the lineup. Jacob Fowler again in for the first half of the game. He gave up a goal on defending a 5-on-3, so we're not going to fault him there. There was another, he gave up an earlier goal that was kind of a screenplay. Certainly didn't. It kind of surprised him for sure. But there were good performances in this game, despite the score for the Canadians.
Very pleased. I have to agree with the leadership team that was chosen for the tournament. Just like if it were a regular team, there's always a captain and two alternates from the prospects who are chosen as the leadership units for these teams. Luke Tuck wearing the C, with Owen Beck and Adam Engstrom each wearing an A on their sweater, and thought that that was, I believe that those were three solid choices for the leadership team.
I agree. And Pascal Vincent making those choices and saying afterwards that when he let Luke Tuck know that he was going to be wearing the C, Luke Tuck was very touched.
Very emotional.
He said, "You have no idea what it means to me to wear a C on a Canadian's jersey." Remember that many of these players, Jacob Fowler, for example, were making their Bell Center debut with a full building, and all of the emotion that was in and energy that was in the building, it was a big deal, and it was a big deal for Tuck to wear the C. As Pascal said, he's a very serious individual, very mature. He's a good influence on the younger players, and an excellent choice to wear the C for both games.
So the standouts, if we want to just talk about kind of the highlights of if you had to kind of do the elevator pitch of what and who stood out as far as the rookie camp, the prospect showdown, that whole package, to kind of put a bow on the rookie portion of preseason. Obviously, we have to start with Ivan Demidov, because he was undeniably not just kind of the big ticket item that everybody was watching, but he absolutely lived up to that billing.
Yeah, I think that, you know, if we're talking about three stars, and not necessarily three individual, but three groups, Demidov is in a tier all by himself at the top. He was clearly easily the best player on the ice whenever he was on the ice. And in the words of Pascal Vincent, said that he made something happen every time he got on the ice. Quote, "Every time you send him on the ice, you get the impression something's going to happen, and something does happen, and we get a chance to score. We had a lot of chances to score tonight." That was on Saturday night. "And he was responsible for the majority of them. What he can do on ice isn't luck. He's a guy who's worked his game. He's still young. He'll continue to improve. But he's a player who can make a difference on every shift. For a coach, that's fun to have." End of quote. And he added, "Unfortunately, I'm not going to have him in my lineup."
I was just going to say, Pascal Vincent's going to be a little tear, knowing that for a coach, that's fun to have, and I'm not going to have that on. He's not going to be part of my team.
But. Yeah, that got a chuckle because he was stating the obvious there.
That's right. Next, as you say, not your three stars as in three individual players, but just kind of three groupings. Second would be the next tier would be Owen Beck and Jacob Fowler.
Yeah, Jacob Fowler, as I said, it was his debut at the Bell Center, and he took it all in stride and said, you know, it was for him, it was about the experience. Of course, he wanted to perform well, and he did, but for him, it was more about just soaking up all of the experience, and he was consistent. He was well positioned, and he had to make some some tough saves. And I thought he was pretty solid. Owen Beck, Pascal Vincent said, that's the kind of play you're going to see from Beck when he's in the NHL. He was consistent. He was everywhere. He was using his skating to influence what was happening on the ice. First game, he was centering the second line. He was up to the top line in the second game. He was everywhere.
Finally, there's a grouping of prospects that certainly would catch your eye quite often during games, and that's Owen Protz, Philippe Machard, and Vincent Rohrer.
Yeah, I thought it was I kept seeing Vincent Rohrer, mm-hmm. and I thought it was interesting after Sunday's game that the coach mentioned him in particular as, he plays with men, Swiss League, plays a mature game. He can be physical, but talked about his conditioning. Pascal said, we practiced them pretty hard prior to the tournament, the showdown. And then you play two games kind of back to back in less than 24 hours. And he said the third period of the Toronto game, Rohrer was the best player on the ice due to his conditioning. So I thought he stood out there. Philippe Machard, we had those quotes from him last week saying he's got to get more involved. He's got to get in front of the net. He's got to go into the corners. He's got to play more gritty. And he did. He scored the only goal, as I said, in Sunday's game. But it was more than that. He was involved, and afterwards he was pumped. He was pleased. And the coach said, he doesn't always get it right, but he has intention. And he has intention. And we can work with that. And Protz, for those of you,
he's just fun.
Maybe it was your first time seeing him. If you haven't watched him play in the OHL, he is,
he hits anything that moves.
He's a bulldozer. he's just a tank out there. And it's not, crashing into the boards and creating a lot of noise. It's the open ice hits that he just has a sense of timing. He's not running around the ice chasing hits. He just has an incredible sense of timing. He's solid.
They're clean hits.
Yeah. The hit against Kieran Walton, I think his name is.
Oh, he just leveled him.
6'6", 212 is it was the opposition player. Unfortunately, sadly, put him out of the game because it was just such a solid hit. Open ice hits all over the place. He is not necessarily, folks are saying, oh, he's going to replace Arbor Jacket. No, mm-hmm. different. Mm-hmm. Think differently. A different kind of player. The elite prospects, the scouting report was he chooses violence, but it's in the open ice. It's as Sylvain Lefebvre used to say, it's hits intended to hurt. Mm-hmm. He's a different kind of player, and he stood out all weekend.
The kind of player that once opposition teams start to know him and understand him, it's going to make skaters who are coming up through open ice pay attention a little bit more to their surroundings, because you're not safe.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And a couple of his teammates who know him well from playing with him in the OHL, I think it was Malik McGowan who said he notices that players kind of turn when if they put the puck into the corner and it's Protz going back to retrieve it, the forwards don't go into that corner with the same amount of enthusiasm if they know that Owen Peratz is going to be there.
Yeah.
And I should just say, for those of you who may have been wondering why he was invited to the World Junior Camp, you probably saw why Team Canada saw something in him. We don't know if he's going to make the team, yeah. but what they saw as well.
We would be remiss if we didn't also mention this isn't necessarily any negative takeaways. It's just that there were a group of players that we needed probably to see a bit more from that just probably didn't make as much of an impact as maybe we were anticipating or hoping. And, you know, for me, I say, okay, who knows if it's just, you know, first couple of game jitters, maybe, you know, a bunch of prospects all getting thrown together who haven't practiced together a whole heck of a lot, that type of thing. Or, you know, just kind of something to keep an eye on. Let's hope that we see a bit more in the future. We have four players listed here, Rick.
Yeah, it just needed to see more. And part of it comes from expectations.
Yeah.
Part of it comes from the competition that they're involved in. I'd say Oliver Kapanen. You say, how can you have Oliver Kapanen in there? He had 3 points in the first game. Well, once Demidov was off that line, there was Oliver Kapanen wasn't able to drive the play. Florian Jacki came in with a lot of expectations and people banging the drum that maybe he would have a chance to make the team in the fall. Yeah, he was a little underwhelming. I don't think Adam Engstrom played very well. Although, you know, he had a great season last season with Laval. And David Reinbacher, I think there are people out there who thought he might be able to make the jump and put some pressure on in camp to make the roster out of the main training camp, and be on the opening night roster. And he could still do that, but he certainly didn't help his case in the prospect showdown. I thought he was a little tentative at times. He made some nice plays. He got walked and made some defensive mistakes. But I just think in general, he was a little bit tentative and he's going to need some time in Laval. I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah, he has not seen much on ice action in the AHL, and I still really stand by him needing to spend some time in the AHL, stay off the injury list, and really just, as you know, kind of the phrase that's been going around this week with training camp anyway, get good reps in the AHL, build the confidence, smooth out parts of the game that need it, and then we'll see, you know, after a couple of months, if he doesn't get a look up in the NHL, if he improves, but definitely could stand to see more there.
Well, when it was coming out over the summer that there was this expectation he might make the team, we pointed to the fact that, you know, he hasn't played 20 some odd games in the AHL.
Yeah, it's not much.
It's not enough.
No, yeah. not enough yet. All right. So, overall, very successful prospect showdown and rookie camp. It came and went in the blink of an eye. Before you knew it, it was Monday and it was Canadians golf tournament day. And suddenly, boom, we are back in hockey season. The press is all together. Canadians management is all together. Players are all together. Is it October yet? Is feeling very, very close. Annual golf tournament at Club Laval-sur-le-Lac took place on Monday. We're going to obviously get to what was said at the pre-tournament press conference coming up in just a little bit in our second segment when we tackle our big topic for this week. But we do want to make note, this is an annual charity golf tournament. They are there to raise money for the Montreal Canadiens Children's Foundation, and they did an outstanding job of that once again this year, Rick, raising $828,948.
For the Montreal Canadiens Children's Foundation, supporting the work at the hospitals. Yeah, it's incredible.
Almost number. A million. Yep. Yeah, almost a million. Then, of course, it seemed a little stilted a little bit because then the very next day on Tuesday, the rookies were back on the ice in Broussard again, finishing up rookie camp. They had one more day of a skate. And then Wednesday, training camp opened for the Canadians. No on-ice events happened on Wednesday. It was the day that the medicals and physical testing took place. And there's a whole bunch of guys, Rick, who are participating in main training camp this year.
60 players, which is kind of an average. Mm-hmm. Average of the last few years. I know it was up over 70 at times during the Bergevin era, but 60 players, 34 forwards, 19 defensemen, 7 goaltenders. The majority of them are under contract, NHL contracts. There's some players who have AHL contracts and a couple of tryouts, but pretty standard as that goes. And then they're split into groups or teams, Team A, B, and C, 3 different groups that are scrimmaging, that are practicing together and scrimmaging against each other.
And if you've happened to catch any videos or photographs of the Habs at main training camp, you might notice something just slightly different on their helmets. And it's a pretty special tribute.
Yeah, on the back of their helmets, wearing the number 29. That, of course, in honor of Ken Dryden. The Canadians haven't put out anything about that, so we don't know how long that will last or what other ways the Canadians will use to honor Ken Dryden. But in the training camp, that number 29 is pretty prominent on the back of their helmets.
As we said at the top of the show, rookie camp and the prospect showdown really kind of encapsulated most of the prospect news that we had for you this week. But we always find one more nugget of information. So let's just take a quick dip into the Habs prospect report.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
And this little bit of information actually has to do with one of the Canadiens' recent draftees from just this past June. Their third round pick, goaltender Arseny Radkov. He was in rookie camp. Mm-hmm. Also, he played the second half of the game against the Maple Leafs, coming in for relief of Jacob Fowler in the second half of the Maple Leafs game. And Rick, he was then released and expected to join the Armada to play in the queue this season, but there seems to be a hiccup.
Yeah, there's some kind of passport issue, and as a result, Radkov has had to return to Belarus. Remember that he was chosen in the third round, 82nd overall by the Canadians in June's draft. He's that big goaltender, 6'4", 200 pounds that the Canadians like, supposed to play in the queue this year. Has committed to the University of Massachusetts next year. But there's a hiccup with his passport, and he's had to return to Belarus. We don't know how long. We don't know if it'll get sorted out in time for him to get back. But with the queue ramping up, he's not going to be there, and that's going to cause them a problem, and certainly a problem for his development temporarily.
Something to keep an eye on. Just a couple of other hockey notes from around the league. LA Kings center Anze Kopitar has announced that this is going to be his last year in the NHL, Rick.
He's going to retire at the end of this season, and has had a wonderful 20-year career with one team, with the LA Kings, and certainly as their captain. It'll be... he'll have his farewell tour as he goes around the league this season.
So for all of you who usually like to draft Anze Kopitar on your fantasy hockey teams, it's your last year to do it. Actually, speaking of fantasy hockey, let me make a side note here just for a moment. Fantasy football is well underway, but our Rocket Sports Fantasy Hockey Leagues will be getting underway in the next few weeks as well. And we will have some openings, just a couple of openings, if you'd like to play fantasy hockey with the Rocket Sports team and friends. Be sure to reach out on the Rocket Sports text line, 5853-ROCKET, and just say, hey, I want to play fantasy hockey. So that's just a bit, little note about that. One other piece of news coming out of Anaheim. There's a contract stalemate between the Ducks and Mason McTavish.
Here we go.
So McTavish is not...
The rumors.
Yeah.
the rumors, McTavish to Montreal.
Of course. So that means McTavish is not at Ducks training camp. And he is instead skating with the 67s, the Ottawa 67s in the OHL.
So McTavish has just finished his entry-level contract. And according to Elliot Friedman, McTavish wants a bridge contract. The team wants a long-term deal, hence the stalemate. And he has chosen not to attend the training camp for now. And we'll see how that all gets worked out.
Oh, boy. It's always drama. Mm-hmm. Always drama. Well, it's time for us to really dig into the Canadiens' drama. There's not a lot of drama. There's a lot of action, though. So what we're going to do is we're going to take our first break here on the show. We're going to bring you our latest offer from our good friends and sponsors over at DraftKings. And on the other side of that, we are digging into segment two. St. Louis sets the tone. It starts right now. What has been the messaging sent out from management and coaches this week as the Canadiens kick off unofficially the start of their season? We are going to dive into all of it and analyze it and get you all caught up. So don't go anywhere. You are listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Football is back, and so is your shot at big wins. With DraftKings Pick 6, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, your game day instincts can score you real money fast. Here's the play. Just pick more or less on two or more player stats, from breakout rookies to elite QBs, and unlock the upside every snap brings. The better your calls, the bigger your payout. And here's the kickoff bonus. New DraftKings customers get $50 in bonus picks with just a $5 entry on your first pick set. This season, play your player instincts. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN. Play just $5, get $50 in Pick 6 bonus picks. Make the call. Ride the upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. 1 per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 bonus picks that expire in 14 days. Limited time offer. See terms at picksix.draftkings.com/promos.
And welcome back to the Canadiens Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name is Amy Johnson, the host of your show that you're listening to right now. If you'd like to follow me over on X, that is where you will find any Canadiens related coverage, commentary that I have throughout the week and so forth. So if you want to follow me over there, you can do so. Just look for my handle at Flyers Rule. You definitely want to be sure that you're following Rick and his account. That is our main Rocket Sports account. So follow him at Rocket Sports. It's where you'll get all of our content, written, podcast, video, you name it, as well as information about the Canadiens, their prospects, Laval Rocket, all sorts of information. Also follow this podcast at Habs Connection on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you haven't done so already, what are you waiting for? Tap that subscribe button, because as Rick said at the top of the show, yes, obviously hockey season is back, which means we are here each and every week, but we were here every single week throughout the summer and the off season as well. This is a year round podcast. We don't slide into the shadows once all the news kind of winds down. There's always something to talk about. We want you to be on board for all 52 weeks of the year. So hit that subscribe button and be sure to subscribe over on YouTube as well. All right. So Canadiens training camp has officially opened. And if you have been paying attention to any of the coverage, you'll notice that there has been a really noticeable shift in the tone coming from management, coming from the coaching staff, and even coming from some of the players themselves. You know, there's obviously still a lot of work that has to be done before the Canadiens can reach that goal of becoming a perennial Stanley Cup contender. But with that in mind, it really feels like and really is that there are tangible expectations that are within reach, that are just within their grasp for this season ahead. It's the first time in a while that we've heard a kickoff to the season that doesn't sound like a bunch of canned responses or a bunch of, you know, recitation of a bunch of lofty hopes and dreams. And, well, we hope to do this and it would be great if we could do that. And it was much more grounded and much more realistic feeling this year, but high on the optimism. So, of course, that means if expectations are going to come up, then responsibility from management and coaches and players has to come up as well. And how the Canadiens get this season started is going to play a very big role. They are going to have a ton of scrutiny on them and they're going to be under the microscope on how they start this season. It doesn't matter that they're one of the youngest teams in the league. How they get started this season is going to be really key. And I think a lot of the fans and media are going to hold them accountable on how they start this season. Rick, it's, you know, St. Louis even practically apologized for how last season started, you know, and we're going to get to St. Louis and some of his comments in a little while. But yeah, the start for this season this year feels more important than it has in a few years.
For sure. There's making the playoffs last year, and they made the playoffs on the last day of the regular season. Has elevated the expectations. Making the playoffs is a minimum amongst the fan base. If you, you know, listen to people on social media, the messages that we're getting, making the playoffs is kind of a minimum. And we'll get to what the captain said about that in a second. But expectations are raised, and also part of that was because of the work that the management group did in the offseason in raising the talent level on the team. Expectations are higher. At the Montreal Canadiens Golf Tournament, the media availability section, everybody came to the microphone, and unlike last year, there wasn't any kind of predefined theme, you know, the in the mix that they came up with last year and said that was going to be their theme, and everybody got tired of that. Mm-hmm. Even the players and the management got tired of hearing that. So they didn't do anything like that this year.
If there was, I'm just going to interject here for a second. If there was one phrase that did get repeated quite a bit, and I guess this is kind of a less controversial phrase, it was, we just keep making progress.
Yeah.
Keep moving forward. Jeff Gorton must have said it at least five or six times. Kent Hughes said it. Jeff Molson might have even said it as well. Keep progressing and keep moving forward.
And I think that they are satisfied with what they were able to do in the summer, but not content. Maybe there's a little disappointment that they weren't able to add that second line. They went into the off season saying their number one goal was to add a second line center. And by the way, Kirby Dach, I hope you're not listening to us say that. And they were unable to do that. But I think they're clearly focused and want to move this group forward. They see the potential, they see the core, they see how things are coming together. They see the enthusiasm amongst the fans, expectations rising, and the fact that they have a rather unique group of players who many of them spending their summer in Montreal, but then getting together early and have been having those unofficial or informal kind of skates throughout August. And they see something that has potential. They see some movement. They see some energy, momentum, and they want to capitalize on it.
They do. One of the things that Jeff Gorton, of course, was asked about was Ivan Demidov, but specifically kind of like the role that they expect Demidov to play or hope that he can play, asking specifically if he can drive a line from the wing and whether at his age and experience level in the NHL, if he's even capable of doing that or if it's too soon.
We all see it, Tony. Everyone sees that he can make plays and that he's a very gifted player and that he wants the moment. So that's really important to be that kind of player you're talking about, to have those qualities. So I don't think it's too soon. You know, it wasn't too soon for Lane to do what he did. It's not too soon for Ivan to do what he wants to do. So can he drive a line? We think he can. Can he do it tomorrow? I don't know. We'll find out. But I think early signs are pretty good.
So we remember way back when, at the end of the season, when they talked about the summer and Jeff Gorton said, yes, we're going to be looking for a second line center, but there are other options too. And maybe there'll be a winger. We can find a winger, a 100-point winger kind of thing, a winger who can drive a line. And yeah, at that point, we were thinking, and there was a lot of speculation, who are they going to bring in? Who are they going to go out and get? Which winger are they going to get? Well, maybe he was talking about Demidov at that point. Mm-hmm. And certainly having to find complementary players that can bring out the best in him. But they have pretty high expectations of what Demidov can be. And they just don't know, you know, how the timeline's going to unfold. When can he have that impact? Can he have that impact right away? They don't know, but they're anxiously looking to find out.
Zach Bolduc is obviously one of the new additions that the Canadiens made over the summer. So this was his first time starting to do some informal skating, watching, you know, at the rookie tournament, that type of thing. And he had this to say about Ivan Demidov. He says, quote, "Honestly, I think he's the most talented guy that I've played with. He's basically doing whatever he wants with the puck. When you're playing with him, you got to be ready. When you're playing against him, you got to be careful."
Thought that was pretty incredible. It's not that Zach Bolduc has had a long NHL career, but he's played on squads that have some pretty good players, including the St. Louis Blues. And for him to immediately out of the gate say, okay, I've seen enough, he's the most talented guy that I've ever played with, that's pretty high praise. Mm-hmm. And it kind of only ramps up the expectations on a very, very young player. But you know, all of his teammates, his general manager, his coach, his you know, the executive VP isn't tamping down expectations about Demidov. If anything, he's helping to elevate them.
So Demidov is obviously all eyes on that kid. The other question that we've been posing all summer is, what about Kirby Doc? What is Kirby Doc going to look like this season? Will he be recovered from his injury? And then in August, everyone kind of got sideswiped with the, oh, wait, Kirby Doc might not be ready for the start of the season. Lots of speculation, lots of rumors, lots of what ifs, some people panicking. So naturally, this was a question that Jeff Gorton fielded at the charity golf tournament on Monday. And here is what he said this week about Kirby Doc.
Yeah. I think Kirby looks great. He feels great. He's healthy. We have a plan in place to get him ready for opening night. So that's what we're going to try to do. We might be a little bit slow off the mark with him, but our plan is to have him opening night.
All right.
Okay.
So he's going to be, if all goes to plan, he's going to be in the lineup opening night. And they confirmed that he would be their choice as the second line center. It's going to be Kirby Doc. Now, will that mean managing his workload prior to opening night? Will he not be in as many preseason games? I think it's safe to say that they're going to monitor him carefully, make sure that you know, he doesn't have any setbacks or anything like that. But that's the plan. They've got a plan, and he, if all goes well, he will be the second line center on opening night in Toronto.
And I think you're right on the mark with that, because we even saw this week they've just had a couple of days of practice, but he did not even scrimmage on back-to-back days. Mm-hmm. He participated in a scrimmage first day. He did not participate in the intra-team scrimmage on the second day. So they are obviously kind of managing his workload, easing him into things. And so we'll see what kind of pattern that continues with as the camp moves forward. Kent Hughes, when he took the podium on Monday, also had a lot of optimism, but also very matter of fact. And this next quote that we're going to hear from him, I think that you'll know it when you hear it. There is a sentence that he says that definitely made me, I was live tweeting the press conference as it was going on, and I furiously started typing because I thought, oh my goodness, like, he just said the thing out loud, which I thought was very interesting and kind of gives us some new perspective on the mindset of how management is handling the roster and the roster makeup right now and in the immediate future. This is what Kent Hughes has to say on asset management at this stage of the team's evolution.
Ultimately, we don't feel like we're done building our hockey team. But we're in that phase or sequence where we're constructing the hockey team, right? It's not just, I guess our priority isn't just being as efficient as we can in terms of our asset management. If we have to overpay to do something to get a specific player that we think is important to the future of our team, then we'll do it.
Yeah, there it is.
Okay. This is different.
That's new.
Yeah, very new. Previously, in the rebuild, it was about making sure that any trades, anything is done as, in his word, efficiently, so that they're packing on, they're collecting as many assets as possible. Not getting involved in a bad trade, being very efficient. Now they're not in that phase anymore. It's about going out and finding specific pieces that they need. And if in order to bring in that specific piece they need, they have to overpay, then we'll do it, is what he said, which is very, very different. Very, very different. He went on to say that it has to be a player that helps not only this season, but beyond. Mm-hmm. But they're willing to overpay for specifically the right piece that they need, that they can afford to be patient. They can afford to be picky, I think was the word that he used. And they probably would have liked to have gotten that done in the summer, but Kent Hughes said, he kind of agreed with us. We said the same thing. It was the quietest summer he's ever experienced, mm-hmm. In terms of discussions and action and trade talk and all of that. And he hopes that things will ramp up, as the season goes on, and he'll kind of evaluate that and give his answer about how successful they were mid-season, he said.
He actually, it was, everybody got a chuckle out of it. He had a funny little quip about that when he said, yeah, this is the quietest summer I've ever experienced. And he said, there were times that I would get off the golf course and I would feel guilty that I had just spent the afternoon golfing, and would immediately get on the phone with, you know, some other executives and so forth, and just to say, am I the only one, or am I missing out? Like, am I just being left in the dark here? Or is everyone feeling that this is really quiet this summer? So, you know, quiet overall, but I think Kent Hughes is doing what's right in at least acknowledging that they're willing to overpay for the right piece of the puzzle. But not rushing into anything either, mm-hmm. And trying to be intentional about it. Jeff Gorton had been asked something to the effect of, you know, if you guys don't make the playoffs this year, is that a failure kind of thing? And he replied with, I don't really like the word failure. So would it be a failure? And kind of rattled off kind of a typical Jeff Gorton kind of answer. Most of the management side of things was focused on that whole keep making progress, keep moving forward, optimism, kind of tempering some expectations, but also setting a decently high bar at the same time. Nick Suzuki got up to the microphone, and as a player is wont to do, he definitely set a different tone, the tone that's coming out of the player's dressing room, about guys who got a small taste of the playoffs last season and certainly have high expectations for themselves and for the team as a whole this year as opposed to last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think the outside expectations last year were a bit low, just, you know, trying not to get too far ahead of ourselves, I guess. This year, I think everyone kind of sees us as a playoff team, and that's where we all think we are too.
Just kind of matter of fact, we're a playoff team. Mm-hmm. Had he said the same thing last year, as he acknowledges here, it wouldn't have been received in the same way because expectations were pretty low, mm-hmm. Particularly the way the team started. But said we're not hoping to be. We see ourselves as a playoff team this year.
And so I think had the same person who asked that question of Jeff Gorton, you know, is it a failure if they don't make the playoffs? If they had asked that of Nick Suzuki, I think the answer would have been obviously very different. I think Nick Suzuki and most of the players on that team expect to make the playoffs. They have that mindset, and you can't fault them. Professional athletes are competitive at the core, and they have to have that mindset going into a season that they are a playoff team and that they must make the playoffs. It's just a matter of time before we find out if that becomes a reality.
And there are things going through the season that they don't have the answers on right now. Jeff Gorton said we have to figure things out, and we have to figure out, you know, can Kirby Doc handle? Can he be the second line center? Can he physically handle the pace, what we're going to see from Patrick Laine, what about Demidov and his adjustment to a full season in the NHL. How's Zach Bolduc going to fit into our group? What's our defense going to look like? Will David Reinbacher become part of that defense this season at some point? There's lots of things for them to figure out. There's that other piece if they want to be able to add something for a specific need that they need to address. But they need to find out what they have first.
So the first steps to doing that is getting training camp underway, and that happened just 2 days after the golf tournament. And right out of the gate, there was no on-ice sessions on Wednesday, as we said earlier. It was physical testing and their medical exams. But Marty St. Louis did meet with the media on that day as well, and right out of the gate, the intensity to kick off this training camp is vastly different than we have seen it or felt it in past seasons. Rick, you even said to me before the show, Marty St. Louis is different this year.
He is.
I think you're going to hear that in some of these clips from him. We're going to take you through some of the things that he said in the first couple of days of training camp and the shift. There seems to be a mindset shift. There is a mental shift, a mental preparation shift, a performance shift that's coming from the top down. And let's kick it off with Marty St. Louis talking about, I alluded to this in the first segment, talking about the slow start that the Canadians had last season, that we have said, obviously, they cannot repeat that.
No, I take full responsibility from our start. You know, I had great intentions coming into camp. I felt I was prepared, and I thought we attacked where we wanted to attack. I think what derailed us last year a little bit is more of an emotional level, with all the injuries that were, and the games were wild, and we were cautious of who we were playing now because we didn't want to lose more guys, and it kind of derailed me a little bit, and I feel that, you know, I can't control that. I can't get caught up with that. We just got to keep going, you know. And I felt like we were very cautious after that happened, and I felt we didn't get enough like real reps from some of our guys because we were too cautious. And I hope I don't have to be that this year, but I felt like I definitely could have handled it better when we were emotionally challenged a little bit with what was going on in the games.
What is he talking about there? This is really interesting, fascinating. And yeah, we've talked in the past about Marty St. Louis coming to camp and, you know, how much thought has he given to the team and the plan and how he sets up the training camp over the course of the summer. And Marty's talked about enjoying his summer and playing golf and being with family and all of that. And there was some question about, you know, how seriously he's taken it. And he comes out of the gate and says, it's my responsibility for how slow we started, how we started last year, that there was a poor start to the season because of training camp and what happened in the preseason. And how I handled it. And I kind of had to remind myself, you know, he talked about, you know, training camp and the exhibition games were derailed and I was too cautious. And we had injuries and I didn't want more injuries. And yes, we remember Patrick Laine injured in a preseason game, David Reinbacher. And then Marty St. Louis said he reacted emotionally. And I had forgotten about the shenanigans that went on after that. The shenanigans between, who's going to be in the lineup? And we were expecting as it gets towards the end of the training camp, at the end of the preseason schedule, to see an NHL caliber lineup. And we never did really see that because of the shenanigans that went on between the teams, And the Ottawa Senators and Steve Staios, and there was even negotiations between which players are you going to play? Which NHL players are you going to play? And Kent Hughes was involved in that. Marty didn't want to play his players. He didn't want anybody else getting hurt. So yes, they met the minimum NHL games threshold that the NHL requires for preseason games, but there wasn't the reps that the team needed. And there was a bit of a lack of intensity, and it was, you know, it set the for those that at one time said preseason doesn't matter how many games you win or lose. Marty's saying, yeah, it does. And how you play, it does. The intensity, it matters. You know, you gotta toss out everything that happened last year. And he wants to start differently. This was before they had their first on-ice session. It's something that had been brewing and maybe he was brooding about over the summer, and he wanted to make sure that it was changed, that they're going to be intense. They weren't going to be as cautious. They weren't going to waste time in training camp. He had seen that his players had spent the time, you know, preparing. They'd even all come in, you know, many of them had come in early, and he was coming in from day one wanting to set the tone that this was going to, they were going to start on time. They were going to start right on time. And you weren't going to, you know, take it easy in the first couple of on-ice sessions and maybe take it easy in the exhibition season. And then, as he said, flip the light switch when it came to the first regular season game. It was going to have to, that light switch was going to have to be on right from the start.
Absolutely. And he's going to, this next clip that we're going to play, it's a little longer than we typically do for an audio clip, but he actually has really good things to say. And so we're just going to let it run a little bit. This is how the coach is describing what kind of urgency is needed in training camp, why you can't take the slow and steady approach during preseason and training camp, why you can't tap the brakes, why there needs to be intensity right from the get-go.
I think what has to happen now, like starting tomorrow, is, you know, they've all did their work in the summer and they've scrimmaged and this, all that. But, you know, the shinny hockey is over. You know, it's got to start now. The decision you make with the puck to the neutral zone, it's got to start now. How your alarm goes off from offense to defense, it's got to start now. You know, the way we play in our D zone, it's got to start now. It can't, like, to me, like, you know, we're going to drive that as a staff. We're going to drive that home, but it starts with the individual. You know, it's got to be urgency. It's now. It's not like, I'll just flip the switch. I mean, trust me, I've experienced many training camps, you know, where you're trying to feel your way through camp and whatnot. You know, I used to love to play as many exhibition games as I could, and my coaches didn't like that because I wanted to be ready. I didn't game one, I wanted, where's, you know, it's all about, like, where's your reg? You know, you're gonna wait for 3-4 games in a regular season start to now, like, okay, be going. Like, I feel like, where's your reg? Like, you know, how do you get your edge? It's every reps you're gonna take in practice right now, like real reps, not skill stuff that you did in the summer. That's, you know, and listen, we do a great job and try to put these guys in the right context and how they're learning and working on their game. You know, can you make it like 60% real for them, 70% real for them? Because there's that 30-40% that doesn't allow it to be real because there's no physicality or urgency involved and a result at the end of that's on the line. So if you have that mindset now from the start that you're keeping every reps real and you're going to play a scrimmage and you're going to keep it real, you're going to play the game that's going to be asked game one of the regular season, I think that's, if you do that individually, you have an edge. And if everybody does that collectively, I feel we have an edge. And again, to me, having an edge, it's just raising the percentages of being successful, not and knowing that it's not guaranteed, but you're just raising the percentages.
His voice was raising. He was getting intense. The longer that went on, getting emotional. This is something that's been on. He's thought about it. And the other part of it, and even him saying, you know, the slow start, that's my responsibility. These mea culpas are kind of a more mature coach. I think in the past, when he was challenged on some of his decisions, whether it be, you know, changing his plan, he talked about playing east-west, and because that's what he taught in minor hockey, and then he flipped from that, the hybrid last year, the full hybrid, and then saying no, he wasn't going to change, and then David Savard went to him and said, okay, we're going to change because it's not working. All of that, he when he was asked about it, he was very defensive. I think he's, you know, maybe that came from the fact that people were saying initially that he didn't have the experience to be an NHL coach, and he reacted defensively. Now he's coming out and saying it was my fault, and he's got that stature. He knows he's an NHL coach, and he's able to react much differently, saying last year was my fault, and so we're going to do things very differently. Shinny hockey's over. We got to start now. We're going to start with real reps right from the start.
And I think that's absolutely an appropriate message for the coach to be sending, because the players, no matter if they are the oldest veteran or the youngest rookie, the players are going to take their cues from Marty St. Louis. And if Marty St. Louis comes into camp with a bit of a lackadaisical kind of, okay, we're back, this is fun to be back, let's ease our way in kind of outlook, the players are inevitably going to follow his lead. If he comes in with this kind of attitude, he's hungry for it, he understands the urgency, the intensity, the players are going to feed off of that as well. And you heard there, we said at the top of the show, the title for this week's episode is, quote, it's got to start now. It's Marty St. Louis saying it's all got to start now, not in 3 weeks. And so let's just hear him talk about the need for it to start now.
Okay, it starts now. You know, yesterday, like, you know, I think the compete level out there, the pace of play is very high. And I feel like, and it's still like a very, I wouldn't say safe, but, you know, there's physicality, but guys are not overly like hitting guys in vulnerable position stuff. But it's very close to what it should look like. And I feel like if you take all those reps like that, I think you raise the percentages of having a good start, you know, and same thing in practices, you know. So I would say, I think as a group, we've talked about that in the last few days and before we started, that it's now.
So the earlier clips that we played were from Wednesday. This is from Friday. And he's still repeating the same message, repeating the same urgency that they really want to start well. And in order to increase the percentages of starting well, you've got to practice well. You've got to practice hard. You've got to practice as if they're real reps, as he said. He said nobody's out there delivering hits on vulnerable people in vulnerable positions, but in every other way, they're not playing safe. And this is, again, it's about expectations. You know, when the rebuild started, and Marty, the first couple of years when Marty came in, and the team was expected to be a bottom five team, expected to be a team that was looking for a high draft choice. We don't like to lose, but, you know, it's the function of where we are in the process. Now all of that's out the window, and they're demanding more from each other. Marty's demanding more from himself and the coaches, and I think it's. A completely different approach. And the other part of it is there's going to be a lot of scrutiny, as you mentioned in the opening, about their start. There's a lot more at stake this year, and they can't get off to a bad start, especially the level of intensity that they're using in practice.
I didn't play hockey, but I had coaches through high school and university who drilled it into our heads. Practice makes permanent. You have to practice the way that you're going to perform. And I think Marty has keyed in on that now. And if that's going to be his kind of new mantra for the start of a season, this year at least, and hopefully in years going forward, I think that will be nothing but a positive effect on his players as well. So as you said, that last quote from him was after two days of on ice sessions, which of course included a couple of intra-squad scrimmages. And so we've started to now get a little bit of an idea of lines and defense pairings. And so we should probably talk about what those look like, what things kind of look like we expected them to, and maybe others that we weren't sure about.
Yeah. And I think, we had our predictions of what lines might look like over the summer and trying to put together combinations. We heard from Canadians fans who were doing the same thing. And so, you know, if you've been following along, there's no surprises, in the makeup of the first and fourth line. Not at all, from what we've seen so far. Caulfield, Suzuki, and Slavkovsky on the first line. We saw that in the scrimmages. Josh Anderson, Jake Evans, Brendan Gallagher on the fourth line. All right, no surprise there. Second line, well, we heard a little earlier that, and we heard it from Jeff Gorton saying that the plan is for Kirby to be in the lineup opening night, and from Marty St. Louis saying Kirby Doc is the second line center. So pencil in Kirby Doc, second line center. Who was he playing with? That second line for now looks like Patrick Laine and Ivan Demidov. And we wondered about, was Patrick Laine the right line mate for Kirby Doc, because they had some experience last year and it didn't look very good. But we also told you over the summer how many times with the bond that was building between Patrick Laine and Ivan Demidov, and they were skating together, they were working out together, they were developing a chemistry, and that looks like the pairing on that second line that's the most important combination. And Kirby Doc will be there to center them. But you made the good point that Kirby is not going to, he's not going to play every preseason game. He's not going to be in every scrimmage. And when Kirby Doc was out, the number one person, it seems, to replace him is Oliver Kapanen. And we saw Oliver Kapanen between Demidov and Patrick Laine on Friday. So all of that is that second line, which is going to be so critical and take pressure off of the first line, and that was really kind of non-existent last year, looks like it's going to be Doc, Demidov, and Patrick Laine.
And Patrick Laine is another one of those pieces of the roster that we've talked about numerous times over the course of the summer as to having the big question marks next to his name. What Patrick Laine are we going to see this year? He spent a lot of time in Montreal this summer. Is he going to, we understand he had a setback last year because of the preseason injury, and so the year didn't go as he had hoped coming into the team for the first time. Now he's got a full summer of training in, healthy, and what is Patrick Laine going to look like this year? There's a lot of questions swirling about that, but Rick, he's aware of that, and he's got some pretty opinionated things to say about it.
Yeah, his quote this week was, it's not maybe we'll see the best version of Patrick Laine. It's we will see the best version of Patrick Laine. He said, I'm ready to skate, score tons of goals. He said that his goal this season is to win the Stanley Cup. And he said the reason that he's so confident is, he said, it starts with the legs. When you have the legs, you move forward more easily rather than always trying to make a pass because you can't move. He talked about, and we saw that a lot last year, especially five on five, where he'd get into the offensive zone, he'd curl up, and he'd try to make a pass because he just didn't have the legs, he didn't have the conditioning, didn't have all of that. So he said being able to move opens up everything else. He feels good. He's confident. He likes playing with Demidov. They seem to have some chemistry together. And he hopes to really make a difference. And as he said, he intends to score a ton of goals this year.
I hope he does. I really, really hope he does. Because that second line could be something really fun to watch. The third line, I'm really intrigued about. I'm really, really intrigued about how this third line is going to shape up. With, of course, Alex Newhook at center. But on his wings, Zach Bolduc to the left and Owen Beck to the right.
This could be a real speedy line. And we told you last year that Owen Beck was spending more time on the wing and he was being groomed on the wing. Of course, he had spent, his entire hockey career at center and was called up and put on the wing and a little bit uncomfortable for him. So when he went back to Laval, it was something that they worked with him and gave him a lot of time on the wing. And he can be very effective on the wing. Marty St. Louis said that he's a really good player when he plays a direct game, when he plays to his identity. And that identity includes being reliable defensively, being really good, using his speed on the forecheck, but not necessarily. Marty St. Louis said that he had the feeling that Owen Beck was kind of chasing offense last year and looking for that, looking to score his first NHL goal during his call-up. And he said that he can be very effective when he plays that direct game. And, he also, in addition to his speed, he has a physical side to his mm-hmm. game. He's a very good face-off guy, and he's good on the penalty kill. So what does he add to that line? Well, we know that Alex Newhook has trouble at the faceoff dot, so much so that Zach Bolduc was asked to work on his faceoffs over the summer. Well, if you can put an Owen Beck in there and they can switch off and Beck can take some faceoffs, he is adding to his toolbox, having now had experience on the wing, can help out with faceoffs. And maybe we'll see how it goes on. But maybe that pairing of Newhook and Beck can be out on as a second set or third set of penalty killers as well. We'll see how that experiment goes. But I think it's a really smart decision to use Beck with Bolduc and Newhook here.
Now, when we switch to the back end, I think some people will be maybe surprised and disappointed at with the top pairing that we have seen this week. Others will not be surprised and say, well, yeah, that's how it should be. And so, let us know which side of that aisle you fall on. But as it is right now, the top pairing on defense is Mike Matheson and Noah Dobson.
Matheson and Dobson, more of a veteran top pairing. Caden Gooley with Lane Hutson on the second pairing, and then Arber Xhekaj and Alex Carrier on the third pairing. Many people had expected that Caden Gooley would be with Noah Dobson, which seems to, on paper, make a whole lot more sense. Caden Gooley, you want Caden Gooley playing tough minutes, playing physical minutes against the opposition's top line. And you have to assume that he's going to get that anyway. But instead of pairing with Dobson, it will be with Lane Hutson. And those two have played well together. They have experience and they looked very good together. The only issue with that is it puts Lane Hutson on his wrong side, which he's played before. But is not his natural side. The top pairing, I think Marty St. Louis is thinking that if they are able to move the puck effectively out of the zone, that there won't be a lot of time spent in the Habs defensive zone where mistakes can occur. And of course, you know, we've seen Mike Matheson he makes risky plays. He's he's reckless, like a younger player, and he hasn't really grown out of that. Great skater and is able to develop the offense. But put with another player who is very good at moving the puck, and you know what we don't see there is any kind of physical presence. Neither player has a physical game. They're certainly able to move the puck up the ice. I wonder, openly wondering whether Matheson and you know, Matheson has in the past needed someone to back him up for his decisions, whether that will stifle Noah Dobson at all. And you know, we'll probably see some changes made if it doesn't work out. But this is what they've decided to go with at the outset, and it looks like they would prefer having Matheson and Dobson. Actually, I think the time might be equally spent between that first and second pairing. The other issue there is I think you want Lane Hutson with the top line. You want him out there with the Suzuki line, and because the Suzuki will likely be up against the opposition's top line, you're going to see Gooley and Hutson out there more often than not against that top line. So we'll see how it works out. And then the third line, I think, well, Arber Xhekaj looks pretty good in camp so far and has had the edge over Struble, at least to this point.
And it's possible, you know, maybe Arber Xhekaj didn't like all the scuttlebutt recently of possible trade talk to Toronto and that type of thing. And there were plenty of times last year where he didn't play, and maybe he, you know, maybe that kind of put a burr under his saddle and he wants to say, hey, I want to claim this spot. I don't want to be the guy watching from the suite at all. So we'll see how that all works out. Goal has been Montembeau, Dobesh, and Kakanen. As to be expected.
Yeah, I'd just say with respect to the goaltending, there hasn't been really any developments there. We said coming in that it was the backup position was Dobish's to lose, and there hasn't been any reason to change. Now that could change during the preseason games. Kakanen still has an opportunity to prove himself and to steal the job. But just there's been no development so far.
No. So that brings us to this week's Canadians Connection question of the week. This is where we ask all of you listening and watching a question related to this week's big topic. And we want you to send in your answers, because we're just curious and we want to know what you think. But more importantly, we're going to pick the best answers that you send in and we're going to read them on next week's show so that everyone can hear what genius responses and opinions you guys all have. So this week's Canadians Connection question of the week: do you think that the sense of urgency mandated at training camp is the right message for this young team? We want to know why or why not. Is this message of urgency that Marty St. Louis is setting the tone with, is that the right message for a group that is going to be one of the youngest teams on the in the NHL this season? Do you think that's appropriate or not? Tell us why. Of course, the way to do that, send us a text, 5853-ROCKET. Leave us a comment on YouTube or hit us up on social media at Habs Connection. Do you think that the sense of urgency mandated at training camp is the right message for this young team and why? Very much looking forward to hearing what you have to say about that and just overall your thoughts about how the first week of training camp has played out and the line combos and so forth. Looking forward to hearing from you. And we did hear from many of you for last week's Canadians Connection question of the week. And just after we take one more quick break here, hearing from our friends and sponsors over at DraftKings, we are going to read some of your best responses right after this. So stick with us. You're listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Football is back, and so is your shot at big wins. With DraftKings Pick 6, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, your game day instincts can score you real money fast. Here's the play. Just pick more or less on two or more player stats, from breakout rookies to elite QBs, and unlock the upside every snap brings. The better your calls, the bigger your payout. And here's the kickoff bonus. New DraftKings customers get $50 in bonus picks with just a $5 entry on your first pick set. This season, play your player instincts. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN. Play just $5, get $50 in Pick 6 bonus picks. Make the call. Ride the upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. 1 per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 bonus picks that expire in 14 days. Limited time offer. See terms at picksix.draftkings.com/promos.
And welcome back to episode 366 of the Canadians Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Don't forget, if you haven't done so already, just tap that subscribe button on the podcast player you're currently listening to us on, or if you're watching on YouTube, make sure that you've subscribed on YouTube as well. And if you are not watching on YouTube, if you're actually listening on a podcast platform, we still want you to be subscribed to YouTube as well, because we'll have some other types of videos coming out throughout the season as well. So you don't want to miss any of that additional content from our Rocket Sports team. So be sure you head over to insidethecanadians.com and tap subscribe. Tap that little notification bell so that you never miss when we put out a new video. We don't want you to miss out on a single thing all season long, all year long. As a reminder, also, you'll find our written content and at a new home this year. That is over at hockeyhotstove.com. Just go to hockeyhotstove.com, tap on the Canadiens logo, and that will take you to the Montreal Canadiens coverage. Which we are happy to provide. And of course, hop into all of the debates and conversations taking place in the forum, the Montreal Canadiens forum, that is hosted on Hockey Hot Stove as well. Lots of fun over there. Lots of opinions. Get yours in. We definitely want to hear from you. We want to hear from you. Don't forget on the Canadiens Connection question of the week. Do you think that the sense of urgency mandated at training camp is the right message for this young team, and why? You know, if you could put it another way, you know, is putting that kind of pressure on a bunch of pretty young players on this team, is that appropriate? Is it smart? Is it the right way to approach things? Want to hear from you on that. Last week, we asked you a couple of different things. We said, which prospect in addition to Demidov do you believe will turn heads at the Canadiens' main training camp? And also we asked, Who would you realistically give up from the Canadiens roster in a trade to acquire Sidney Crosby? If that was going to become a reality, who would you legitimately give up, be willing to part with on the Canadiens roster in order to get Sidney Crosby? And Rick, we actually have one of our teammates here at Rocket Sports who you're going to start with, who had a really great reply to this in our internal team chat.
Yeah, in our Slack group. This comes from Mike R. Mike is very thoughtful. He's thought about the question, the question of the week, the Crosby proposal question. And Mike says, it's too soon to make that ad, in my opinion. The team as constructed right now is a playoff team that's 2 to 3 years away from truly competing. Adding Crosby obviously speeds up the timeline, but I still don't think it makes them a true contender right now. Keeping that in mind, and I think this is something we stressed last week, Suzuki, Demidov, Hudson, Slavkovsky, Caulfield, Fowler can't be parted with. They can't be any. They can't be sent to make room as the return for Crosby. Mike goes on and said, I'd be willing to do Hage, Beck, and picks, or a package around Reinbacher and picks. Still lots of risk moving any of those pieces, but not sure they are sexy enough either for the Pens to consider. Long story short, I don't think Crosby's end of his prime aligns with the Habs' true compete window. Two different timelines there. Excited to be proven wrong, though. And I like the way he finishes optimist. That. Yeah.
Ever the optimist. Great great reply from Mike Raschel there. And over on YouTube, what would you give up for Crosby? At Grand Crowdad Ford 6127 says, Doc, straight across. So he's...
Well, yeah, I don't think they're gonna.
I don't
do
think
that.
That's gonna happen, but it's a good suggestion. Kind of understand your thinking there. Then we had at Alan W73 just said Crosby trade rumors to Montreal are dumb and make zero sense. Well, alrighty.
Well, we keep trying to say that we're not really believing this, but they keep ramping up nonetheless.
So we had to ask. Thank you for your take on that as well. Make sure you get in your Canadiens Connection question of the week answer for this week. We want to be able to pick yours out as one of the best to read on the show next week, because lots and lots of more new Habs fans have come to join us here on this podcast since all of our episodes over the summer. So your opinion goes out to a lot of Habs fans if you're one of the ones that gets chosen to have your responses read on the show. My goodness, we have games to preview for this week. Believe it or not, not just one, not just two, not even three. There's four games next week. Now, granted, only three of them take place before we meet again in our next Canadiens Connection podcast episode, but there are four preseason games next week, Rick.
There are. Starting Monday. Monday, Pittsburgh's in town. The Penguins meeting the Canadiens. And before the start of the podcast, I wondered whether we know the Penguins had signed Fleury to a PTO and said he may get some preseason action. We wondered if that would be appropriate, and probably would, given the Bell Center's feelings toward Marc-Andre Fleury. We wondered if we'll see him on Monday. Tuesday, another Pennsylvania team. It's the Philadelphia Flyers. And then Thursday, the Toronto Maple Leafs.
And then we will, just to wrap it up, it'll be after our next podcast episode, but then next Saturday night, it's actually a home and home. Toronto comes to Montreal on Thursday. Montreal flips around and heads to Toronto on Saturday night. There are actual games. And we're going to talk about at least three of them next week on the show. We are back for our next podcast on Saturday, September 27th. We are getting closer and closer, but we are going to see some actual NHL action this week in the preseason. We know you're excited about it. We're excited about it. And we can't wait to break it all down with you next week on the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadians Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.